from the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast.
Information.
Conversations.
Drake Talk with a dose of common sense.
Sound judgment and practical manners.
Farm Sense, the biggest topics facing agriculture and rural America.
With journalist and farm broadcaster Clinton Griffiths.
And welcome to Farm Sense. I am Clinton Griffiths. You are listening to our new podcast. We're excited to be bringing it to you, where each and every week we're going to try to touch on an issue and talk about the things that really impact our lives day to day. They could be finances, they could be community, they could be family, they could be raising our children, or just dealing with the business of farming and agriculture, from policy to things happening in the world. So sit down, buckle up, join us each week on the podcast, and we're going to try to touch on a whole variety of different things based on my thoughts that I share on Ag Day each and every week on Farm Sense. Today, we're talking about the weather. Now, as much as farmers are have tried to mitigate the impact of weather, there's really only so much we can do. We've seen that on full display just in the last few weeks, from 25 inches of snow this spring to sleet, hail, tornadoes, ice storms, flooding. It has just been absolutely crazy this spring, and it's brutally clear that we still don't control the sky. As much as we try to mitigate the weather, it's still a problem. You know, we can tile all of our fields, we can put sprinklers in, we can buy new hybrids and new types of crops with better genetics, but still, Mother Nature is going to do what she's going to do, and it is hard to control what's going to happen. Now, lack of rainfall and scorching spring temperatures are again igniting heartache in the heartland. Over the past few weeks, wildfires have burned almost 500,000 acres, caused two deaths. They burned fencing, feed, livestock, homes. And the immediate danger is being replaced by the longer-term stress of finding feed and fencing. One of the folks dealing with the wildfires here in the last couple of weeks is Joe Ferris. And Joe, you live out there in western Oklahoma. How are things looking right now?
You know, things are looking much better than they did a little over a week ago. Thursday, the fire started, and we had extremely high heat, extremely high winds. And we've dealt with just a horrific, I would call, 100-year fire for the last week. We've had some moderate rainfall in the last few days. The fires are pretty well out. They're watching the edges to make sure nothing flares up. But things are just much better than they were during the last week.
Man, and it has been just awful dry there over the last, 180 days since October or so?
Yeah, the last significant rainfall for most of western Oklahoma was last September, 1st of October. So
wow.
We were really dealing with drought situations that have been serious. And then we had this fire in the western Oklahoma, mainly Dewey County, Woodward County. But it was a humongous fire.
Yeah. Tell me about, Joe, take me back to when you first heard there was a fire and it was coming. Where were you? What were you doing when all that started?
Well, I'm a rancher and also a banker here in Woodward, Oklahoma. And around noon, I got a phone call that there was a fire in southern Dewey County with a south wind, and a lot of our property was north of the fire. And I left the bank and headed home, and we started moving cattle because this fire was on the south side of the South Canadian River, and if that was to jump that river, we knew that we would have cattle in jeopardy and property. So that was on Thursday around noon, a week ago, last Thursday. So we spent all afternoon moving cattle, and that fire did jump the river.
Wow.
And we had a southwest wind, and it started moving across the county. And in the next few days, it did move across a large portion of Dewey County. And, you know, we spent our time trying to protect our cattle, our homes, and the fire departments did, and emergency services, and the Oklahoma Forestry Service brought in assistance with helicopters and planes. And but it was just almost impossible, as hard as you fought it, to stop it because we had low humidity, high winds, and drought conditions.
Isn't that something? Just unbelievable. How close did it get to you?
We have our ranch land that we own and rent. We have about 8,000 acres, my son and I, and it burned all of our land.
Wow.
It did not burn our houses, but it did. It came right up to our houses. We fought it with, you know, tractors and discs, and grader came by and a fire truck, and as it did many, many people. So it was very close to us. We lost about 60 head of cattle that could not get away from the fire. They were in an area. We got most of our cattle into safe areas, but some of them, the heat was so horrific that they went back from the clear areas to the timber and got caught in it.
So
there were, at this point, I think the count's around 1,100 cattle my neighbors and I have lost, and miles of fence, and, of course, acres and acres. I think around 285,000-plus acres in Dewey County and about 60,000 up here in the Woodward County area.
Goodness
so it's a very, very large fire. Between 50 and 100 homes were lost.
How fast was it moving? It just seemed that wind was pushing that thing like crazy.
You know, we had winds anywhere from, I would estimate, 30 to 50 mile an hour. It was moving so fast that you could, you know, the fire trucks would go into these homes and soak them down all they could and just do everything they could. And they would save many of them, but some of them, the fire was coming so fast and jumping so far that they just could not stop it. And that was the problem. And then the wind would change from day to day to different directions. So you would have one area maybe contained. Well, then it would go another direction. So it was very tough. The thing that really saved us was we finally got some rain and the wind settled down.
Right. Joe, were you ever fearful for your, not just yourself, but for your family and friends and property? I mean, I'm sure with fires that moving that fast and that big, at some point you take a minute and just to try to catch your breath.
Oh, gosh, you didn't take many minutes for several days to catch your breath because there was something to do all the time. You know, we were continually moving livestock or trying to protect our homes, but always when my son is a volunteer fireman for a number of years at a little community called Tologa, so he not only was worrying about his cattle, he was out trying to, you know, save structures and homes for other people. And yes, we were concerned for many days about being careful, trying to stay in a safe spot for your family and your livestock. And yes, there were many tense times that you're trying to be sure you don't get in harm's way. And not only fire, but the smoke. Right. The smoke was just horrific.
Joe, I'm guessing your family's been out there a number of years, long time. Have you guys ever dealt with a fire quite like this before in your memory?
No, never. And the people that have been here for many, many years have never seen it. My son's been on the fire department 16 years. He's never seen anything like it. And the people, well, we have land that there's an old house on that's over 100 years old. There's many evergreen cedar trees in this country that are in canyons that have not burned in over 100 years. And those actually, the fire was so intense, it went down through those canyons and burned those cedars. It burned structures that were over 100 years old. So, no, anyone you would talk to would say they've never seen anything like this.
Unbelievable. Well, I know that land out there, I spent some time in Oklahoma, I know that land out there can be sensitive. I mean, I think that's one way to put it, right? I mean, it needs cover on it. So where do we go from here, Joe?
You know, a lot of that depends on Mother Nature. If we will receive timely rainfalls, the land will heal. There will be some areas that were covered with these evergreen cedars that did not have grass under them for a number of years that will be sensitive to some erosion, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the ag community will do a lot of things to, they're good caretakers of their land, and
sure,
they will go
absolutely
in there and seed and do whatever is necessary to conserve the land, and it will heal. The probably one of the tougher things, the people that lost their homes, you know, I feel so sorry for those people. And then the tremendous loss of fencing, that will take quite a bit of time to rebuild. But you cannot imagine the outpouring of support and help from all over the country, locally, plumb up to all across the United States, people wanting to help. And we have had hay come in, fencing materials, feed, phone calls. It's just unbelievable how good people are, you know, good American people.
What do you think of that? I mean, I know Kansas dealt with and experienced that a lot last year, given the big fire that they had out that way. That has to be pretty staggering to think people from Michigan are bringing hay and supplies out to you.
Oh, it is. It's just, you know, maybe we shouldn't be surprised because, you know, people are good.
It's true.
We hear so much negative, but basically people are good. And then we're so fortunate to live in a rural ag community. You know, we're sparsely populated, but maybe have more friends than many people in the city. You know, it's just amazing the connection we have. And I'm not ruling out the city people because they're super to us, too. You know, we're getting support and compassion and help from all over the country and people wanting to help, you know, and the prayers. And, you know, everything is appreciated, but it is overwhelming. If anything will make you break down and cry, it's the goodness of your neighbors that you know and you don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. It is I've always been touched and humbled by the outpouring of support that I've seen and the way. And I remember when I lived in Oklahoma for a while and having tornadoes and just the way that a community would come together and say, you know what, we're going to help people that need help. And here we are. What can we do? How can we pitch in? What can we give and give back of our time and our resources? And it's always humbling to watch and witness people willing to do that. So where do you go from here, Joe? What's next? What are you going to be working on? How are you going to start toward the recovery process? I know that's going to be a big step, especially with all that fencing.
It is a big step. I just went to a gathering yesterday in Tologa at the county seat at the fairgrounds. There's a lot of charity groups were there, Red Cross, government agencies, help groups where people could come if you lost your home or if you lost livestock or if you lost, you know, fences or what, to get information on what might be available out there for help. And really the main thing is just rebuilding. We will be trying to get fences put back up, houses restored, people placed, you know, in rentals or new homes, and then get our fences fixed. And if it rains and our grass grows back, we'll be bringing our livestock back in from areas that people have allowed us to take our livestock to. We'll be bringing those back in. And, of course, the livestock that have stayed here are being fed donated hay mainly and feed, and we'll be getting those back. And you know, it will take a few years to get back to normal, but a lot of things will be better within a couple of years if we get the rainfall.
Absolutely. Well, it's hard to live a life where a lot of it depends on rainfall. You spend so much time watching the sky, but that's generally where that help comes from. So really appreciate you, Joe. Thank you for sharing your story, and we wish you the best of luck.
Well, bottom line, you know, when you look at the whole picture, God is good. You know, I just want to leave it with that.
Absolutely. Well, appreciate it, Joe. Good luck. Thank you for sharing your story. We'll probably talk to you again as we follow your story and go through the next few months.
Thank you for the opportunity to share.
One of the most impressive things I think I've witnessed during all of the wildfires that we've had over the last few years is the outpouring of support. The folks that have been willing to pick up, drop everything, and go and help other people in agriculture in their time of need. To me, that tells us that we have a true community. And one of the people helping lead that community is Eddie Faley, Ag Community Relief. Guys, and Eddie, you've been out on the road taking loads of hay out to Oklahoma. Tell me, how did your trip go?
We had a real good trip. We were able to leave here Wednesday evening, and We arrived down there Thursday night, so everything on the road went real well. We met some good people along the way and met a lot of great people when we arrived down on the other end.
What do people say when they see you out driving with a load of hay? And tell people, you know, where you start from. Where are you starting from?
So home base for us is eastern side of Michigan, where I'm from a little town called Emily City here. We're about an hour and a half kind of north of Detroit. So that's home base for us. And, you know, when we're on the road, we get people every once in a while question us where we're headed. And we tell them that we're headed to Oklahoma or Kansas, you know, Texas, wherever the fire is at the time. And some of them kind of get silent. They're in disbelief that you haul hay that far. And, you know, right. And then when we get under, when we get down there and these guys ask you where you come from when we arrive at a ranch, they're silent and they can't believe that we drive that far.
That's a long way, Eddie. That's a long way to go from eastern Michigan all the way to Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas. Why? Why are you guys doing this? What's behind the intensity that you have to help?
We're all in this together. I mean, you know, that's the great thing about the ag world and as a whole is it doesn't matter, you know, you live down the road or 1,200 miles away, we're all neighbors at some point in time. And when a neighbor's in need, that's what you do is you drop what you got going and you go help your neighbor.
Absolutely. I mean, I think in witnessing the kind of what you guys have done and what other people have done in the ag industry over the last couple of years and helping people that really are stuck. I mean, there's just no other source of help and you guys are stepping in to, you know, yeah, maybe it's a Band-Aid with some hay and it'll get them through a few months or, you know, half a year or whatever. But a lot of these folks, there's no other options. And what you're doing is really, you know, helping them through some of the most difficult times that they've ever faced.
You know, and that's our goal with this isn't to make their life any better than it was before the devastation went through. It's to, you know, it's to help them in the time of need. And it's one less thing that they've got to worry about why they're trying to rebuild the fence and you know, account for their herd and whatnot. Is if we can take them a load of hay to ease that much of their pain in the meantime, it's more help than it seems sometimes.
Eddie, what's been your favorite reaction that you've gotten thus far? How many loads have you taken?
This year here, I've only went once so far this year. Last year, I'd made the journey down there three different times last year. But that's myself. You know, we've had people step up, and there's been people that have went 5-6 times last year. And we've got guys that, you know, left with us last week, and there's guys leaving again during the week this week. So it's a nonstop effort.
Yeah, getting down there. Do you have a favorite reaction from when you've pulled up with a load of hay or from somebody that you've talked to out on the road?
You know, we've met a lot of great people. I can't say that there's, you know, I've got a favorite. They're all good stories and memories. You know, some of the handshakes and the hugs that we receive when we get to the other ends are definitely ones that stick with you for a while.
Yeah. How much hay have you put a number on it? How much hay you hauled last year?
Yo, Matt and I we were riding home there yesterday and we put a pencil to it trying to figure it out, and we figure we hauled somewhere in the nature of 750 ton last year down there.
Wow.
You know, and in the nature of round bales, that'd probably someplace between 1,500 and 1,700 round bales, you know, that we've managed to get down there.
That's just an incredible accomplishment. What do you hope when people see what you're doing and hear about the efforts that you guys are making, what do you hope people take away?
That there are still good people out there, you know, and we've seen that not just in the ag world, but with this effort as a whole. There's been communities come together that haven't come together before, and different industries have stepped in and helped with, you know, our organization. And at the end of the day, it's just great to see everybody as a whole come together and put all the problems going on, put them aside, take care of the people in need.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Tell us about Ag Community Relief. What's the goal?
Our goal is to keep helping people in need. We're not going anywhere. We keep looking at different ways that we can help every day, and we keep, you know, working on different ways that we can continue to raise funds and make sure that we have the donations that are needed when the time of need arises.
Well, Eddie, we appreciate your time, and thank you for all that you've done in sharing your story, but in helping those in our community that really need help. I mean, it is
absolutely. Thank you for taking your time.
Yeah, it is an important issue. As you know, these moments can make or break some of these people's lives. You know, they're facing really tough decisions right now, and any kindness and help that they can get along the way, I'm sure, is been greatly appreciated And we've heard that from the folks that we've talked to and continue to report on. And I just want to tell you thank you for the work that you guys are doing.
Hey, thank you for everyone's support. That's we can't say thank you enough for everybody supporting us, or else this would never be possible without the community coming together.
All right, Eddie, appreciate it. Thank you so much. Eddie Faley with Ag Community Relief. We appreciate it. Safe travels, Eddie, and good luck planning this year.
Hey, thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
If you'd like to learn more about what Eddie's doing and the folks there at Ag Community Relief, simple. Go online, go to their website, agcommunityrelief.com. They're trying to be the Red Cross from farmers. Sounds like they're getting a really good start on that. Now, don't forget, New Mexico, Kansas, Texas have also seen wildfires again this year. Don't forget about them either. You know, last year we witnessed 1.5 million acres go up in flames. And American agriculture continues to step in and help tremendously. I have no doubt we're going to see this same outpouring of support in these uncertain economic times that we face in agriculture. One thing that I think American ag can count on is each other. Thanks for joining me on the podcast Farm Sense. I'm Clinton Griffiths. Have a great week.